Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts here as we start to wrap up the month of January, head into the month of February. So happy you're with us here on Mondays. And, of course, that means Monday morning quarterbacking is about to go on. Lauren Tate is with us. We'll visit with him during the course of the morning here, of course. We'll take your phone calls, your emails, and your texts. A busy Illini weekend, not so much basketball because the Illini men did not play. Now, the women did yesterday. They lost to Wisconsin as they were trying to get a Big Ten win. But lots of other headlining news for Olympic sports in particular.
And
I was going to tell you about the John Davis sub 4 minute mile. How about that?
Yeah, you know, I thought he was more of a longer distance runner when he came out of Oakwood, but I noticed that last year they said he had a 4:01. I'd forgotten that. If he had 4:01 as a freshman, you know, he knew he had a shot at it.
So that was a pretty exciting moment. That broke a 44-year-old Armory record and was the best time in the NCAA Division I this year.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Lee Labate was the first one to run a 4 minute mile at Illinois. Mm. I mean, how we have nearly 500 now, huh? And that's just in America.
That's right.
Man, oh man.
Yeah. Ryan that first did it? The first ever sub 4 minute mile? By an American.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those years ago.
Yeah.
But a remarkable number. That's one of those magic numbers in sports that was hit over the weekend or passed with a time of 3:58.46.
We have progressed so much in those times. I always go back to Johnny Weissmuller's Olympic champion swimming records that are now broken by 14-year-old girls.
Yeah, some records are easier broken than others.
How we've improved over time. Then that makes you wonder if individuals have improved, which we can show with the records. What about teams? How much better are teams today than teams in the old days?
That's a good subject for debate. So the men's track and field, women's track and field, they have the Illini Classic. I know you're always interested in track and having more events like that.
Sure.
And that turned out to be kind of a fun day. Good weekend for wrestling, men's and women's gymnastics, men's and women's tennis. We'll get into all that during the course of the show. And, of course, the Michigan State story continues to percolate and take different stories, different angles. I know Graham Couch with a couple of pieces up in East Lansing, Michigan, and I guess Tom Izzo got hit with some pretty tough questions after the game yesterday against Maryland.
Yeah, and I think Couch is saying, wait a minute, you know, just take a step back and let's look at it, you know, let's not go crazy. This isn't the Salem witch hunt, right? I mean, let's get it right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fair.
So we'll look at that column as well here today. And we're hoping to see if we can get in touch with Darren Williams today. Darren is actually in town for the Jock Jams going on at Folinger Auditorium tonight at 7:30. So we've made a couple of phone calls there to try to reach out to him. If we happen to connect with him today, we'll get him on as well here in the course of the morning. So again, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. They introduced the new two assistant football coaches, Corey Patterson and Rod Smith, late in the afternoon on Friday. We'll talk about that a little bit. And whatever's on your mind today, it is Super Bowl week, by the way, but I'm not hearing a lot of buzz outside of Philadelphia or Foxborough.
It's hard to come up with anything new, isn't it?
It's Tom Brady. It's Foles. It's tough to come up with a new angle on the Super Bowl, but they'll be playing that coming up on Sunday night. So we'll talk about all that as we continue here on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. I'm Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We'll come back with more after this on DWS on Penny. Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts. Ryan Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We're Monday Morning Quarterbacking today, 356-9397. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Back to all the recap of the weekend coming up. We'll hear from John Davis here in just a moment after his four-minute mile over at the Armory. But Dave Thompson has popped in here for a couple of minutes. So Woods Basement Systems, you hear us do their commercials, and we don't often get to, like, talk to the guy.
I'm here.
Is doing the commercial. Dave Thompson, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having
good.
Me in.
Well, good. You like to stand? You going to do anything else here while you're with us? You're
well, gonna, you guys won't let me sing.
Okay.
We're not That's
let
the
you
other
sing.
Station, right?
That's Yeah, we'll let you sing over on Light Rock. You can do that. Well, tell us that we're getting near the end of January here. This is Radon Action Month.
Radon Action Month, and your first action should be to test. So we've been giving some test kits away in November. I heard they were popular, so we're back with more test kits to give away because you need to test. And with our test, a real simple, activated charcoal. You let it sit out for 2 to 3 days in your basement. In the room above your crawl space, if you have a crawl space, don't put it in the crawl space. But test it, wrap it up, put postage on it, mail it in. Our test kits include the lab fees, so there's no cost to the caller. Mm-hmm. Just the postage, and then you know if you got it or not. And that should be your first test.
Okay.
First step is the test.
Well, it's interesting because everybody hears, you know, when you hear carbon monoxide, people go, oh, well, I better get that. But they don't think about radon that
right.
much. Right.
Well, it's odorless, colorless, and tasteless. And the only way you know if you have it is if you test. Mm-hmm. And it is the number one cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. So it's kind of important to find out. So in the real estate industry, it's already kind of in the buzz before you buy a house, they want the homeowner to test it. So might as well do it now.
Tell us about crawl space, basement wall cracks, foundation cracks.
Well,
do they get worse? Are they worse in the winter?
Well,
or not? Or
this winter perhaps because it's been a little bit drier. So as the soils dehydrate and things settle, cracks can reopen. And they can be a problem with, you know, re-cracking in drywall or doors and windows sticking. But we can repair that as well. And if they're big enough, that might be letting some radon in. We'll seal them as well to keep that radon out. But, yeah, we do the structural repair and give free estimates since 1986. So we've been around for a while.
You've been at this a while. So if you have one crack in your foundation, you should be concerned. But if you have two, then you have a big problem.
That's true because, you know, concrete's going to get hard and crack. Talk to anybody that works with concrete. They'll guarantee you that it gets hard. And a guarantee that it's going to crack.
Yep.
But when you have two and then you have some shifting and re-cracking, that's when the problems could be occurring. And we can come and check it out and let you know what's going on. We can benchmark some things, give it some time. If you want us to come back in August, we'll come back again and do it a second time and show you whether it's maybe it's settled and stopped or if it's currently moving and you need to do something about it.
Here's our phone number. Any questions, free estimates, all of that, 888-935-4333 or go to woodsbasementsystems.com. Dave Thompson is the man. Before we let you go, you got a ranking here? Ratings? We talk ratings on this show.
So. We're part of a bigger dealer network worldwide, over 300 dealers, and we were in the top 10 dealer for the last 14 years, and we made number 4 last year.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's
appreciate
terrific.
All our customers. Thank you to our customers. Couldn't do it without them.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Right,
there
Brian.
You go. That's our first commercial right there, live with Dave Thompson. We appreciate that.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. All right.
There you go.
Say hi to Lauren Tate.
Hey, you bet, Lauren.
All right, 356-9397. Thank you, Dave. Good to see you. Thank you, Larry. Let's go back to the phones here. We'll get those started, 356-9397. And texting and cooling, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us, talk@wdws.com. And let's go to our first caller here. Hey, good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Yeah. Who's this?
Hey, this is Scott.
Scott, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
So you were talking about John Davis, and, you know, I've had the pleasure of being around John throughout his career, and you know, what a great representation. He's humble, hard worker, just a great kid, I mean, overall. The one thing that is interesting is since 1957, there's been 500 sub-4-minute milers in the United States. So you're watching, you know, and to watch him do this and be at that elite level is pretty incredible. But more importantly, really two things. Central Illinois, if you look at the running landscape around here, it is second to none across the nation. I mean, we have some really significant Division I athletes in this area that have come out of this area. And particularly in small towns, I mean, when you look at the runners that have come out of here, you know, in the Monticellos, the St. Joe's, the Unities, I mean, it is kind of the who's who of running across the nation. So it's fantastic to see him come out of a small town and do what he's doing right now.
Well, it certainly is, and he's from Oakwood, for people that don't know.
Yep.
And he, now Lauren mentioned he'd come close before, what, 401, I think?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's the best is yet to come. I mean, I always think of I never put anybody in that same elk, but you know, it's a long haul to get to the Craig Virgin type, but you know, certainly to have that type of person as kind of a mentor and a person to look up to across the landscape. I mean, I think of the Dyke Steerets of the world, and certainly Lauren can kind of. You know, he knows Dyke, and to know that type of running in this area is just tremendous. But, you know, before I go, I do want to tell you that this is a great attribute to Jake Stewart at Illinois. Jake is a fantastic coach. I mean, and really for John to have him there and to be able to be coached up by him really shows a lot about what Jake is, not only as a coach, but just as a person overall, I think.
Well, Scott, tell me, wasn't John, yep. Didn't he develop more as a longer distance runner? I mean, is the mile about the shortest thing he runs?
Yeah, I mean, he's not in any track meet you've ever been to or any area. I mean, he's kind of been a multi-purpose guy, but he's been more of a distance guy. I mean, if you look at him in the IHSA books, he's, I think, fifth overall with a sub-14. On Detweiler Park. I mean, he's certainly got more of an endurance feel to him. He's probably better in the 5 and the 10 than anywhere else, but that just tells you a lot about where he's at. And again, his coaching has been second to none. I mean, I can't, Jake Stewart has just done such a tremendous job with him and so many of the other distance athletes that, to be quite frank, get overlooked when it comes to the national scene and also on the local scene to be able to see these college athletes.
How many milers do you think there are in the country, right? Let's say a collegiate, who could run a 4-minute mile? Where does he stack up nationally, you think?
Well, so far this year there's been 8.
Oh, really?
Sub-4s. John is one of 8 now. And, you know, when you look at it, he's up there certainly. And it's yet to be seen where he ends up. I mean, as far as things go, I threw out the name Craig Virgin. I would say that's kind of the Michael Jordan of running when you look at winning 2 national championships, world championships.
But did Virgin ever run a 4-minute mile?
You know, not to my knowledge, but he's the most decorated guy. Well,
right.
At it.
I don't ever remember him. He's more of a, you know, up to 2 miles and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, certainly he was, but I think that Craig is kind of he's the standard, he's the bear marker you know, running-wise. And, I mean, a guy that still holds the record in the 3-mile, and we've had the best of the best, like I said to Brian, come through Illinois. I mean, when you look at Illinois running, there is it is the standard. I mean, it certainly is. You know, like I said, Central Illinois does itself proud every year at Detweiler Park and in the way that they come about.
Well, I'm going to send you away with one. I remember the Rideout twins from Arcola.
Oh, boy.
Who won the state. That's a couple of years ago, tell you, back in the 40s.
I was just saying a good friend of yours at Dyke Steerett, and Dyke was certainly, he was no slouch. I see him from time to time at cross country meets, and it's always brings a big smile to my face to see a Monticello guy walking through there. That's for
you
sure.
Know, I one thing that this is going to do, 4-minute, that's going to get more people out to the meets. I think. I mean, you need something that you can understand. Once they went to meters, we lost a lot of fans because you don't know what it means anymore. I'm serious. I think that we lost fans when we went from yards to meters.
I'll tell you what. We certainly, you know, in the running community, if you look at it across the board, meters, yards, whichever way you want to measure it, when you start looking in that type of rarefied air as 4 minutes, anything below 4:15 is just to be looked back and your mouth is kind of agape, because it's just it is extremely hard. And those seconds tick off, and it's so hard to try to get those seconds down. And I was very happy for John. I think he is deserving of that. He's such a hard worker.
All right. Hey, thank you, Scott.
All right. Have a great day.
Great info. Thank you. I know the running community certainly took note of that 4 minute mile. John Davis was caught up to right after that happened. I think he was still breathing a little heavy too, but here he is after the 4 minute mile.
So run under 4 minutes, and we had two of our guys pace me through to make sure that happened, and we executed that perfectly, I'd say. Once the two pacers pulled off, I kind of realized this place got pretty loud, and yeah, they carried me the last 600. Really across the board, I just think I'm getting older and more just mature, having another year of mileage under my belt. I've been very fortunate to be injury free for a year, and I think that contributed the most, just getting stronger, getting faster, getting leaner.
That's John Davis. That was one of those more, and I'm not a runner, so I don't pay as close attention maybe as you do, Lauren, or as Scott does. I just assumed that there were, since that 4 minute mile barrier was broken all those years ago, that there were tons of people that had done it. I didn't realize it was in the hundreds. It is a very difficult thing to do.
Well, I'm a little surprised that eight have done it this year in college. So yeah. He's not the lone guy. But understand, he did it on a non-bank track and a short track. That's right. Two things against him. Mm-hmm. How fast can he run outdoors in perfect conditions around a quarter-mile track?
Right. No, that's a good question.
Yeah, he could do better.
Right. Wind aided. Or
this was under 159, too, by the way. Got a second under that.
Yeah,
under
358, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, it is. We're at 9:24. Let's take a break. We've got some texts and emails coming in, some items on Michigan State, a question about women's college wrestling. We'll talk about that after this here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Welcome back. Monday morning quarterbacking today on Penny for Your Thoughts. Tomorrow morning, we'll have an open line at 9. Dan Holder will join us in the 10 o'clock hour. Daniel Holder and Associates. We'll talk about the new tax law changes to be aware of as you start to work on your taxes, if you haven't already finished them. And then at 9 a.m. on Wednesday morning, an open line that first hour, Tom Kasich will pop in here for a couple of minutes on his way out the door to the State of State address. And then at 10 a.m., Jim Dye in the second hour on Wednesday. More as we go along during the course of the week. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us, talk@wdws.com. Benny texts in. He says, I hope Duke and Kansas win their games tonight. I hope the Illini play with the same intensity against Rutgers tomorrow night. I believe Kansas is at Kansas State tonight.
Who coaches
one of the
Kansas State?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, he does a pretty good job of coaching. He doesn't get great players, but Weber's, he makes you have to fight to beat him. He's a battler.
I saw Oklahoma got beat over the weekend.
Yeah.
By Alabama. Yeah. Trey Young, I think they're kind of going through a
identity
transition with Trey Young as to what to do with him.
Right.
You know, do you
they
score?
Don't want him taking 38 or 9 shots anymore, but they want him to score and yet get the ball to the open players.
You can almost tell he's thinking out there almost too much. Okay, I need to pass this time. Okay, I don't need to shoot.
Yeah,
and it's kind of hindered.
I think he was embarrassed by that one game. He just took so many shots, and they got to get the other players involved if you're going to go very far in the tournament. I like their chances. They got a pretty good team around him.
Well, they sure do, and a good coach.
You bet.
They do. Notre Dame at Duke tonight. By the way, Duke and North Carolina both lost at home on the same day for the first time since 1973. How about that? Lose at home on the same day at the same time. And Northwestern is at number 25, Michigan in top 25. Yesterday, Purdue, just to show you how one day, home court, all of that. But, I mean, Illinois just beat Indiana, and Indiana took Purdue to the wire.
Yes, they did.
Yesterday, and Purdue's clearly the best team in the Big Ten.
But, you know, both those games yesterday, Indiana was leading much of the game, and Maryland was leading Michigan State for much of that game, but both of those games were played on their home courts. Second half, the better teams dominated.
Yep, Michigan State, sixth-ranked Michigan State, able to cap a weekend of surrounding turmoil with a win at Maryland. Joshua Langford, 19. That second-half surge Lauren talks about, Cassius Winston contributing 13. Michigan State trailed by 13 before opening the second half on a 20-4 run in that one. And Purdue.
Wouldn't you like to see a statistic on how many times teams have come back from multiple double-digit deficits? It happens all the time, and we act like it's really something, but it happens every day.
And Jerry Hester always told me out of every halftime, he said the first 4 minutes of the second half will determine this game.
And that's where Michigan State won it.
That's
they
right.
They were on a 20-3 run.
And then the other game of note we mentioned, third-ranked Purdue, 17 straight wins. Isaac Haas matching his career high with 26 in a win at Indiana, 74-67. It seems like any time Matt Painter's team is in trouble, when they haven't been in trouble very much, but when they are in trouble, they go to Haas.
You bet.
And it's over.
Yeah, he is so strong. And, you know, the thing is, when they get the ball down to him, it creates openings for the other guys. Sometimes he can pass it out. You know, that Vince Edwards, he had 19 points in this game. He's going to be all Big Ten, I think. I mean, he's really having a great season.
He is. He certainly is. And I think they're the best three-point shooting team in the country, if not first or second, according to Larry Clisby. I listened to the Cliz yesterday. He told me that. Question from Mike in Champaign. He says, is there any college wrestling for women in the country?
Not that I know of. I
sure don't know that. There's women's hockey.
I wonder how Rouse got her, how she developed over time. How did she become a wrestler? Well, she's not exactly a wrestler.
Boxer,
she's a boxer,
wrestler,
fighter,
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you develop that as a woman? There aren't many, you know, it isn't like there are many places where you can learn to box for women, I wouldn't think.
Also, a text, Lauren was talking about the all-time best basketball players at Illinois on last Saturday's program.
Yeah.
He says this would be Nick Weatherspoon. He only played 3 years because freshmen were not allowed to play.
Right.
But I love the Spoon. He was great.
He was.
Pretty solid. A pretty decent NBA career, too, right? Didn't he?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he was okay. He had one problem. He was a great jumper and a great rebounder and a great shooter, but he wasn't a dribbler. Mm-hmm. He didn't, and that hurt him in the pros.
Nick Weatherspoon. I remember the band playing A Spoonful of Sugar is what the band used to play. I remember that when I was a kid. And also a tweet from Magic Johnson, and we can talk more as we go along on the Michigan State if you'd like, but Irvin Magic Johnson says, if anyone was aware of the sexual assault happening to women on the Michigan State campus from the Office of the President, Board of Trustees, the Athletic Department, faculty and campus police, and didn't say or do anything about it, they should be fired. That tweet from Magic Johnson today, Michigan State great. It is 9:31, news headlines with Michael Kaiser. If you have any comments you want to throw in, Illinois basketball had the weekend off. As far as games, the women did play and lost yesterday as they lost to Wisconsin. We'll talk about all that. Recap a busy weekend of Illini sports. Look ahead to the Super Bowl if you would like. College basketball, where are we here as we enter the month of February this week? And I'd also, we were talking about the sub-four-minute mile. What are some other milestones in sports that are pretty difficult to hit, to get? We can just throw some of those out. You can think about those a little bit, ones that are like, wow, that's a really difficult number, like 50 points in basketball. Is that hard to – that's very hard to do.
56 in a row in batting?
Yeah, things like that. So we'll get into some of that just for fun. Anyway, we'll come back with more Michael Kaiser next on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357.
Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. We are back Monday morning quarterbacking today. Glad you're with us. You heard the phone numbers. You can reach us. Phones, texts, emails. We're taking all of those this morning. Busy Illini weekend. We mentioned the men's track and field news. John Davis of Oakwood, the 498th American, to run under a four-minute mile on Saturday. The Illini Classic, time 3:58.46, broke a 44-year-old Armory record. Best time in the NCAA Division I this year. The orange and blue also swept the 60-meter hurdles and 200-meter races. The women finished second to Louisville, as did the men. Illini women took honors in the 200-meter and 600 meters. Wrestling, 15th-ranked Illinois, won its 10th straight match at Huff Hall, beat Maryland 25-18. They'll be at Indiana on Friday. Men's gymnastics, third-ranked Illini beat number 2 Penn State in Happy Valley. They posted the top overall score in the nation this year. And they'll be at number 8 Iowa Saturday at 1. Women's gymnastics posted their season high score in beating Penn State. Illini men's tennis swept Georgia Tech and Oklahoma in Norman, Oklahoma. Beat the Sooners 4-1. They advanced to the ITA Indoor Championships. Women's tennis beat William & Mary, lost to number 5 UNC. Swimming and diving, first in a quad meet and first in a tri meet at the Arc over the weekend. So that's some of what's happening. Men's basketball tomorrow night at 6 against Rutgers. By the way, I looked up schools, colleges with women's wrestling, and I don't see any Division I, but there's a lot of Division II or Division III schools.
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole list here from Adrian College, Baker University in Kansas, to Eastern Oregon University, to Ferrum College in Virginia, King University in Bristol, Tennessee. Most of these are Division II, Division III schools. Missouri Baptist University. Some programs are starting in the fall of 2018. So there's a list. There's some out there. I didn't know that.
No.
So there you go.
I mentioned Rousey earlier. Ronda Rousey. I don't know where she got her start. I called her Rouse, but it's Rousey.
Mm-hmm. You were thinking of George Rouse.
I must have been.
356-93.
That's assuming I was thinking at all.
356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, and email us talk@wdws.com. So we met formally the new offensive coordinator, Rod Smith, new tight ends coach.
He's a real open guy, I think. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that'll talk. He likes, and I think he's got an amazing record. Just think, they were number 5 in the nation last year, averaged 41 points a game. And when you start talking about statistics, what's the main statistic? Points.
More points, yeah.
You bet.
And Lovie Smith mentioned that.
That's
he said,
right.
We all understand
we've
got to score more points.
You can have a nice rushing attack. You can have a nice passing attack. What you want is points.
Yeah. Martin O'Donnell tells me you've got to score at least 25, 28 points these days to even have a chance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when you're averaging 16 and 17, you're not going to be close.
Oh, no.
And that's what, you know, he's looking at as far as
he's got to develop the downfield passing of Thomas. He has to do it. He's the only quarterback here this spring, and they've got to learn to distinguish when people get open down the field and not just, pack it and run every time that you don't hit the first receiver or you don't find the first receiver. That's the key, is the second or third guy that might come open.
You don't want to give up on the play too quickly.
That's right. You know. And I think that is all quarterbacks who come in with a running reputation tend to run too soon.
Mm-hmm. That was Steve Young when he first started with the 49ers. That was the knock on him, is he would just take the ball and take off.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes that works.
And sometimes that works.
But. Yeah.
All right, that's going back a ways, though. Let's go to Alan. Hi, Alan. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. I guess we might as well get on the Michigan State situation. Is Izzo and D'Antonio going to survive this?
Well, I don't think we can answer that. I mean, I think that Izzo intends to survive it. I don't think he's going to resign. I think it depends on what they find as they look back in time at the Appling and the Adrian Payne and the Walton situations. Those seem to be the three. I mean, he has nothing to do with gymnastics. He has nothing to do with Nasser.
Right.
But how those were handled, those three specific cases.
Yeah, here's what Graham Couch said. The headline is, if needed change at Michigan State includes D'Antonio Izzo, so be it, but let's slow down. He said he talks about the different cases that have been at Michigan State. He says one is of unimaginable scope, backed by 16 months of reporting with a conviction and overwhelming evidence of negligence. The other is a troubling report involving several incidents with Michigan State football and men's basketball players, some already known, all of which were dealt with by the university police and the court system or are in that process. And he goes on to say whether they were dealt with appropriately is the question, ones that needs to be revisited if there were serious missteps or any sort of cover-up.
The three people that I just mentioned all left at some point, but I don't know the exact timing of when the incidents occurred, when Izzo was apprised of it, what he did, and what happened before they left. But they did leave. And by the way, Walton's been pulled off the team, and I think he's coaching, isn't he, in the D-League. and they put him on suspension as of this week. Hmm. So that, and this is something that happened back in 2010. So the first thing you have is a problem in determining exactly what happened 7-8 years ago. That's hard.
Okay, I got one more thing. Lauren, you and I, Michael Kaiser, kind of go back and forth on this. You know, you talk about you can't, big men don't grow on trees and all this and that. Well, I disagree. They are out there. We're just not getting them. I look at teams like Rutgers and Penn State. They're getting those tall athletic players. We're not. I mean, they're somewhere. I mean, if not in the United States, they're in Europe. There's some reason why we're not getting any, and we should be. We should be right there with everybody else. But,
I'll tell you where Rutgers is getting them. France, Canada, Senegal, Mali, Portugal, and the Netherlands.
Well, there you go.
How do you like that?
That's where they got them.
And Penn State's getting them out of Philadelphia. That's where they're coming from now, for Penn State.
Okay. They're there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, can you name, we're all excited about Okoro. At
Normal West.
Mm-hmm. Is there another center in the state that we care about? Is there another one? And he doesn't. He's only a junior. Is there a? Was there anybody last year? Is there anybody this year? I mean, I'm not saying there isn't, but tell me who it is.
I'm not saying we got them in this state. I mean, I don't.
Well, if there's none in the state, then they're not very frequent, are they? If there's none in one of the biggest states in the union. And there's nobody here. I mean, there aren't enough to go around. Now, you can be convinced that there are, but I'm convinced that there isn't. So,
okay. Where did Jens Koala come from? He comes from Germany.
Jens Kuyava?
Robert Archibald came from Ireland. I mean,
well, Archibald played in St. Louis. That's true.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, he came from there.
Yeah. Well, his dad played over there, but, I mean, yes. Okay.
They're there somewhere. I mean, you just got to get them. I mean, if you can't get them in this state, and if you can't get them in the United States, y'all better find something overseas somewhere.
Okay.
I mean, surely somebody would want to come.
Shake that apple tree a little harder.
Let me just say this: if there's a player out there, everybody wants him. Illinois is not going to be able to walk in and say and be the only team that wants somebody. There are a lot of monkey business going on in that stuff too that you're not taking into consideration.
So. Yeah,
but they know they would play here. That's the bottom line.
Well,
because there's nobody here there for them to, beat out.
Yeah.
All right, Alan. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
We appreciate it. Let me tell you about Steve and Pam Starwalt. You know Steve Starwalt, don't
sure.
you? Yeah. He helped set up the coach's headsets as part of his hobby. Along the way, but he and Steve and Pam Starwald with Keller Williams are a rare husband and wife team in the real estate business. They're hands-on from start to finish. By the way, if you're looking to downsize a little bit, maybe you're at that stage of life, the kids are all gone, and you're looking forward to grandkids, but you want to get a smaller place, Pam's completed a training and earned a certificate, making her a senior real estate specialist, so she can help out with that. And both Steve and Pam grew up in Champaign-Urbana. They graduated locally. They know the area very well. If you're wanting to sell in maybe 2 weeks or 6 months or a year, you don't know what the timetable is, they can meet with you no cost. They'll give you a no-cost consultation on that. And they'll kind of walk with you the whole way. They'll be with you the whole way from selling, home inspection, appraisal, closings. They have lenders, a lender in particular lined up. We'll tell you more about him on Friday, but they can help. They can handle your phone calls. They'll get back to you right away. The phone number is 239-7156. That's the phone number. Now, if they happen to be out and about, that will roll over to Pam's cell. So you will get your message through one way or the other. The Starwalt Group at Keller Williams, Steve and Pam Starwalt. You can Google Starwalt if you can't remember everything about them or the phone number. They'll pop up there pretty early on the Google page. And they can assist you in every way. They'll basically just kind of walk you through the entire process and be with you every step of the way, selling or buying a home. Most of their business comes from past customers that are just so pleased with their work and the way they've handled them, and they refer their business to other customers. So again, 239-7156, area code 217, Steve and Pam Starwalt, the husband and wife team at Keller Williams. We're at 946. By the way, we'll go to break with this. A texter sent in. We've been talking about the sub-four-minute mile that John Davis ran, other records that are hard to beat. We'll come back and talk about this, too, some more here. But Texter says, Wilt Chamberlain's averaging 50 points a game in the NBA.
And scoring 100 in one game.
Scoring 100, yeah, that's probably not going to happen
again. That's out of reach.
All right, we'll talk about more of that. We've got a couple of other texts. We've got phone lines available. We'll rejoin you in a moment on Monday Morning Quarterbacks after this. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday Morning Quarterbacking. We're at 949, 28 degrees here in Champaign. Chance of snow at 30% outside. Hope you're being safe out there. I know the roadways were a little slick today. The folks, the guys from the News Gazette will be at the Esquire for the News Gazette sports page. Catherine Reuter is going to join them as we get closer to the Olympics. So you can look forward to that. And then, of course, the Brad Underwood Show tonight, 7 to 8. Don't know if you're going to be down there, Lauren.
I think I'll make it tonight.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, good. You can look for Lauren Tate then, too.
Yep. I'm going to have my usual one beer.
That's an added bonus. And we have a text in. We'll get to that here in just a moment about the football team. Let's go back to the phones. Ed is on the line. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning. A little skiff of snow on the ground this morning.
Yeah.
Down here in beautiful Newton. You know, with all this talk, you know, the basketball, I've watched, you know, a lot of basketball this year, Illini. You know, we talk about getting more inside presence, which we need. And athleticism, I tell you what, I think this, and nobody talks a whole lot about it, but we are a very poor shooting team, game in, game out. I mean, I think if we could hit more of those open looks outside, we might open up more lanes inside and, you know, to drive a little bit. But, man, we're a bad shooting team.
I think that's right, except for the Iowa game. Illinois hit very well in that game, but they've had a string of other games recently where they've hit 3 out of 18, 4 out of 15. I think they were 4 out of 15 in the last game against Indiana, and that's hard to overcome.
Exactly, and you know, a lot of those looks are really pretty wide-open looks, or relatively wide-open looks, and teams, you know, by the time you get this part in the season, coaches know what you can do and what you can't. And, boy, I tell you what, that just takes away any kind of driving lanes. They don't have to, you know, really guard their shooters, or, you know, we're very limited. You know, as far as, you know, being able to shoot the ball, you know, that's, I think if we could, we need shooters. And I think that would help with, you know, with the rest of our game.
Well, it's become Trent Frazier, you know, is a big part of the offense, yeah. LaRon Black. But then you look at the other shooters from the outside. I mean, Mark Smith is shooting 24% from three. Allstor
exactly.
Came in as a 38% three-point shooter. He's at 24%. Aaron Jordan hasn't been taking many shots at all here lately. He was up at whatever he was, 67. Now he's at 51, but he hasn't made many lately. And Devontae Williams is at 18%. So you're not getting the outside three-point shooting that would help Frazier and Black in key moments, I guess.
And Michael Finke.
Finke's at 20.
I thought he would be more consistent. I thought he would be around a 40% three-point shooter, you know, be able to step outside and with maybe his ability to maybe pass the ball, you know, maybe get some people open, Black open underneath. But, man, we are so – the only one really with a consistent thread a little bit is Frazier. And you see what that does. It does open up his ability to drive the ball.
Yeah, you know, Lucas hit a three-pointer in that last game against Indiana. That's his second one of the season. You got a guard that's made 2 3-pointers all season. We're talking mainly about three-pointers here, but
right.
And that's a shot. You know, the 15-foot shot's going out of style because it only counts 2 points. You need to step back and shoot the three.
And our two-point shooting isn't bad because of LaRon Black. I mean, he makes a lot of those shots, you know, 7 of 10, 6 of 11.
He's good.
And so Newton's the town with all the Eagles around town, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep. We are the Eagles. Yep.
That's right. But they get the little Eagles marked all over. Every time I drive through there, I look for all the Eagles. So it's kind of fun.
That is what we are. We got a proud tradition down here, especially in football and track and several sports. So this year we were third in volleyball. So
that's quite an accomplishment.
Good tradition.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank
good
you.
To hear.
Bye.
Yep. You bet. Yeah. Finke, by the way, is at 29% from 3 points. This year, just averaging 10 points a game. All right, a text from Susan about the football team. She says, we're in Florida and have missed a lot of sports news. Can you talk about why 15 players have left the football program? Mr. Tate, you've written on that.
Well, there are a lot of different reasons. I mean, a couple left because they weren't going to play. Several left because they weren't going to play. A couple left because they got sideways with the coaches. A couple left because they just didn't want to play anymore. But I think most of them, Trey Watson and I think Trey Watson's the key one because he had over 100 tackles as a sophomore. He was injured this year, and still was our main middle linebacker, or at least one of the two. And there was a family problem between his mother and Lovey, and he went back when he was injured, and he played the latter part of the season, interestingly enough, after it indicated that he wouldn't be back. But he played, and he played pretty well, I thought, and now he'll be playing at Maryland.
Well, then you had the 15 leave, but you've had 19 sign early.
Yep.
You've had a few of those enroll early.
Five of them.
And so you're going to be counting this. Well, the senior class will be smaller, the upper class. You're going to have a lot of sophomores you're counting on, right?
Oh, boy, yeah. Like 25 of them or so. You know, that sophomore class this coming year is going to be everything. But the only thing I would say is that most of the players that left, Lovey was not satisfied with their performance. Mm-hmm. That's a fair statement, that Lovey wasn't satisfied with many of those who did play and would rather have the young guys taking those spots. But it hurts you depth-wise. It hurts you on the kickoff team. It hurts you on the coverage and the special teams a little bit because you need numbers of experienced players. Now, they're going to have enough players. They'll have 80 players when the fall rolls around, I think, as long as more people don't leave. But there's also you have to consider this, Brian, and I don't know how much it matters, but when you play all those freshmen ahead of all those other players, older players, that is not necessarily received well by them. It might be a good idea for the program. It might be a good process to go through because we want to be better later down the road. But I don't know that all the juniors last year accepted the fact that, boy, I got a freshman starting ahead of me now, and I'm coming back as a senior, and he's going to be a sophomore, and he's going to play because I've already seen that. And maybe they realize those guys are better too.
And then you just throw in the net, which happens anytime there's a coaching change. You're getting near the end of the train of guys that were recruited by Beckman and or Cubitt.
Happens all the time. Every time there's a coaching change, there's players leave. And you have guys like Meganson who came in with really high, you know, everybody thought he would just step in and be a starter, and now he's been replaced, and he isn't the player maybe that we thought he was. So he's going to transfer, and he may play at a little bit lower level.
356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Got a text just in, said, did Illinois lose a defensive tackle to the University of Miami?
Yeah.
Is it Odenebo, isn't
Tito,
it?
Tito, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he was one of those that left and is going to the University of Miami.
Well, that we hear that. I don't know that that's been confirmed,
yeah,
but that's what I've been told.
Right. Okay. I did hear or read or in passing somebody mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, we were talking a little bit earlier about milestones in sports, and I know Lauren's made a list. Give me a couple that you came up with.
Well, at the professional level, I mean, Wilt's ridiculous. 100 points in a game, 50.4 average. That's 50.4 average for the entire season, 55 rebounds in a game. Come on.
Yeah.
Or was it 65? I mean, it's just, and, you know, at the university, I think you mentioned Downey's 53. Mm-hmm. That's certainly a record that will never be broken. I don't think Griffith's 8 touchdowns against SIU mm-hmm. will be broken. Let's see what else. You know, in golf, in professional golf, the thing that everybody seeks is the Grand Slam.
Right.
The four, to win the four events, mm-hmm. which Bobby Jones did when the amateur was included among
right,
the four.
In that same calendar year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is another mile.
And I would say the same thing would be true of tennis. It's much easier in tennis because the same guys that win every time, don't they? I mean, it's a select few guys. I noticed that, and I didn't see it, but Federer won.
The Australian Open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's just another one for him.
All right.
But it's a lot easier to win in tennis than it is in golf.
We got about a minute left. Ted's with us here. Want to get him under the wire. Hi, Ted.
Hi. I'm curious about this new recruit in football from Danville. I couldn't
finding out much about him.
Oh, he's a terrific kicker, Griffith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a really good kicker.
Pretty good athlete all around, I think.
Yeah, he's on the basketball team. I saw him play out here.
Is he a five-star? I thought I heard that somewhere.
Well, I don't know about stars, but he's just a really good kicker. I can tell you that.
Right.
And he's not coming in on scholarship the first year, by the way.
Okay.
He's going to walk. Right. I think he's.
Is it preferred walk-on?
I think he's preferred, and I think he gets a scholarship after McLaughlin is gone.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll get to some more of those lists that Lauren is accumulating here.
Well, I don't have much more.
We'll get into some of those, though. Save some for the next hour. We'll do that off the top, too. And if you want to talk about the Michigan State story, that's still, of course, percolating is a big one. A lot of good events for Illinois athletics over the weekend. We hit on some of those in this first hour. And does anybody care about the Super Bowl? I don't know. It's coming up Sunday. They're going to play it. I guess we'll watch. They played the Pro Bowl yesterday. I know I didn't watch any of that. But we're coming up on 10 o'clock on WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. The news next at 10. More Monday Morning Quarterbacking straight ahead.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Welcome back. Second hour of Monday Morning Quarterbacking. Brian Barnhart with Lauren Tate. Glad you're with us. You heard the phone numbers. You can email us, call us, text us, your choice. We're at 10, 11, and 28 degrees here in downtown Champaign. Spent the first hour, opened the show, talking about the sub-4-minute mile there by John Davis, University of Illinois. Of course, he's a local young man from Oakwood. And we mentioned at the time that was broke a record, 44-year-old record from 1974. Rick Wohlhuter, Wohlhuter, who I guess graduated from Notre Dame and was also representing for the U.S. at the Summer Olympic Games in Montreal in 1976. But he ran the record that Davis broke was 3:59.30. Was Wohlhuter's record from 1974. That was the last, the Armory record.
In 1971, that doesn't say where this was run, but Lela Beatty ran 358.8 in 1971, but I don't have the location. I guess I can get that if I keep looking, but main thing is I think, if somebody will correct me, I think he was the first Illini to run a four-minute mile.
And one other note on Wohlhuter, who's the record that was broken yesterday by John Davis at the Armory. He was the 800-meter national champion for the U.S. in 1973 and 74, ranked number one in the world both years, those years by Track and Field News. So just some little interesting back history on that. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. An interesting one when we're talking about three-pointers made. There's a record that is held right here. Corey Bradford holds the record for continuous games in which he hit a three-pointer. And as hard as it is for us to be able to hit one, two or three a game, and then to have somebody that went the length of 88 games to hit a three-pointer is almost unimaginable. Now, it probably couldn't be beaten, but a person to do it, thing I like to say about it, there are 88 keys on a piano, so if you go up to a piano and start from the bottom all the way to the top, 88 keys, and if you get to the middle, say, well, I'm halfway, and when you get to the top of the piano keyboard to get to 89, then you've broken his record. So I think that's an easy way to track it, and I don't know if anyone has approached it or if they're close. I never hear too much about it, but that's one that I think might be pretty hard to beat.
You know that was not done in regulation. The game that against Indiana in the Big Ten tournament when I think he was in the corner, I remember, and it was in overtime, and he hit a big three to help win that game.
Right.
In fact, I think it won the game at the very end, and that was the only three he made in that game. It was in the 45th minute or the 44th minute.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. But
yep.
But when you think of hitting consecutive games, hitting a three-pointer, person would have to be on. And if they have a cold or flu and don't feel well or just not on their game, think about how hard that would be if you're not shooting well that night, and it breaks the record or doesn't break the record because you broke the strings. So
that was a good one. That's a good one to bring up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, we're talking about records. The sub-4-minute mile was one. There's different milestones in sports. Those of us that cover it and watch it, of course, we enjoy those records that are very hard to be broken or maybe over time have changed and are difficult to break. I think of one in baseball is winning 20 games as a pitcher. You don't see anymore.
But I'll tell you one even tougher, batting 400.
Well, yeah, nobody even comes close now.
Check Roger Hornsby sometime. He did it routinely.
if a guy hits 320, we're like, wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
But you know, Roger Hornsby wasn't facing 100 mile an hour the last time he came up to bat in the eighth or ninth inning.
Right. Or two or three of those guys
near
the end of the game.
Boy, the game has really changed.
The game has changed.
By the way, you think they're going to go to that 22nd thing for pitching?
The pitching clock? I saw a story on that. I don't know is that a good idea?
Is that a good idea?
Well, for some pitchers it is.
I think it's a good idea to keep the game moving. I think even another one is make the batter stay in the batter's box. But, you know, if you get something in your eye, you got to be able to step out. And they got this problem. If a man's on first base and the pitcher throws over there, the whole 20 seconds starts all over again. You could take a minute, you know, throw over there three times. You could throw over there five times. It doesn't matter.
Here's another mark that doesn't get broken much anymore, like a two-hour baseball game.
Oh,
or two and a half hours.
Impossible.
2.5 hours.
When's the last time you ever heard of a two-hour baseball game? Somebody tell us. I mean, was there a single two-hour game in the majors last year? I think there was a game pretty close to it. I think there might have been.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you'd see, if you looked in the box score, you'd see an hour 58.
Yeah.
You know, or real close over the years.
Uh-huh.
But the two-hour games are if you can get through the seventh inning in 2 hours, you're doing very well. We're at 10:16. We're talking those kind of things today. Or if you want to talk Illini basketball, they play tomorrow night. We'll talk about it with Brad Underwood tonight. The Brad Underwood Show, 7 to 8, at Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy on this station and our sister station, Light Rock 97.5. By the way, speaking of baseball real quick, this day in history, 1900, the American League, made up of 8 baseball teams, was organized. In addition to the already established National League, which is why they call the American League the Junior Circuit,
right,
from 1900. And this day in 1936, the first members of the Baseball Hall of Fame were named in Cooperstown, New York. And I bet you can name most of those.
Well,
very first class.
Well, I was going to say 1936, you know, you couldn't have Babe Ruth in there because that'd be too early for him. I mean, he was still playing.
Well, he's in there.
Well, I didn't know you could name players like Gehrig and Ruth that were still in their prime.
Here were the first members: Ty Cobb,
mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson.
Was Jimmy Fox in that?
Didn't say here.
Okay.
Didn't have him on the list.
Well, he's the most underrated player of all time. He
is
was
right?
way better than anybody knows. Mm. He had 58 home runs. You know, when Ruth hit 60, like, that was unheard of. Fox almost did the same thing, and Fox was faster. He could run like a deer. Amazing athlete. Was a terrific catcher, but played first base. I read a history on him, and I just couldn't believe it. You know, the reason I read it is because a game of their own, Hanks was the manager. He was Jimmy Fox.
Oh,
that
is that right?
Was Jimmy Fox.
Okay.
Jimmy Fox was the manager of that team back, the
League
girls,
of Their Own, yeah.
The mm-hmm. girls' team mm-hmm. Back during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Fox was portrayed as a drunkard and kind of a loopy guy. But nevertheless, during his playing days, he didn't have the long career that some had because of other factors, injuries and extracurricular. But, boy, for about 10 years, he was about as good as there was.
By the way, happy birthday. Mike Pearson tweets out, Rich McBride today is 33. Speaking of three-point shooters.
I want to check that shot against Penn State one more time. Did he get that off or not? Do you realize that was for a Big Ten championship if it goes in?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it eventually.
Cost us.
Yeah, that's right.
By one game.
By that one split second. That's right. And that was before they were able to review those, right?
No, they reviewed it. They reviewed it. And I'm sitting
there. That's right.
And you know what I said? I said, I don't think he got it off. I said, please don't review that.
Yeah. In the old days, it would have counted. Because they
counted
good.
It.
Yeah.
They had their hands up. Yeah. I mean, they counted the basket. But when they reviewed it, it was definitely it was just split second off.
We're at 10:19. The other statistical note I was thinking about that is hard to break, what used to be hard to break for quarterbacks, was throwing for 300 yards. That used to be like, you know, when Dan Fouts started doing that and Dan Marino, we were like, wow. And it's still a big number. But, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that do that. I mean, teams pass for, in college, they pass for, you know, 500 yards or roll up 600 yards of offense. But that's changed a bit, too.
Big 12 changed everything.
Yeah, they did.
They just throw it, and nobody seems to defend it in that league.
All right. Text from Mike says, here on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, he says, the last minute of Indiana and Purdue took 17 minutes. That drives me nuts.
Yep. That's what happens.
Timeout.
There's a foul every 4 seconds.
Yeah. Speaking
and a shot every 5 seconds. You know, the team behind shoots quick, and right. Then they foul.
We were talking about big men. And
then they call timeout.
Talking about big men. Alan had called in about that. The Isaac Haas story is interesting because he basically went to Purdue because of the degree he was looking to get. I mean, they specialize, you know, Purdue's known for several things, like Illinois is. And the degree, the reason he even was interested.
Was it engineering?
I think it was engineering. It's one of those high-level degrees. And, I mean, nobody knew a lot about him, but he, you know, wanted to go to Purdue. And then they developed into a pretty good big man.
You take a chance when you look up at a guy like that. He is a monster.
Oh, he is.
He's really big.
When he laid on the floor, he was stretching here last year, and I'm going, who or what is that? I mean, he was a long
monster.
He's one
of those guys that when he takes his shirt off, he gets bigger.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, we're at 356-9397. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Let me tell you about Busey if you're worried about retirement. The sad reality is the average American is underprepared. You can ensure your hard work today pays off tomorrow. Busey Wealth Management. They say, according to the U.S. Government Accountability Office, nearly half of households headed by someone aged 55 to 64 have no retirement savings. Busey Wealth Management can help. Go to Busey.com for information. But estimating your income, projecting your retirement expenses, there's a lot that goes into that, food, clothing, housing, health care costs, and considering additional income sources, IRAs, traditional, Roth, which way you want to go on that. Make sure you get involved in a 401k plan if you can with your business, the place of that you work. The sooner you begin saving, the better. For more retirement and financial planning tips, connect with Busey on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for #WealthWednesday. Busey.com. Visit there or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. We'll come back with more Monday Morning Quarterbacking. What are some milestones that are hard to beat in sports? We're doing some of that today, and whatever else is on your mind, Illinois basketball for the men. They're tomorrow night against Rutgers at 6. You can hear that right here. We're back with more after this. Monday Morning Quarterbacking, doing a potpourri of topics today. You can join us on any or all of those, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357, and email us, talk@wdws.com. We've been talking about the sub 4 minute mile. You have something on the fastest mile ever.
By an Illinois runner. Mm-hmm. Now, this is amazing. The fastest sub 4 minute mile ever run by an Illinois runner was Mike Durkin in 1975. He ran 356.7. And as long as this information I have here on is accurate, there hasn't been another 4 minute mile in Illinois since 2002.
Hmm.
Can that be? And the reason I would say is because they run 1,500 meters, they run 800 meters,
right.
They don't run miles much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it doesn't mean there weren't 4 minute milers, but it just means that they weren't running, they probably didn't run the mile.
Thought it was interesting. John Davis talked about the pacer. They planned. I'm not that familiar with running. How does that work?
Well, you have a guy that draws him out. In other words, you have a runner that runs a little fast, a run that can't last. He can just run fast enough to keep you on pace. There's a certain pace that he's got for each length of time. He knows exactly where he should be, and that runner that's pacing him is going to be on that time. And so he drags him along.
So you don't just wake up and go, I'll run it under 4 minutes today.
Well,
I mean,
there's some a planning lot of planning
involved.
Went into this.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, I got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. It says, almost positive, the Seton Hall game that went overtime extended Bradford's streak. I don't remember. I don't remember the game. I don't remember
I can't answer that.
So if anybody remembers that, I did, the Seton Hall game was a funny story. But that was one where they came from way down after being down.
Yeah.
A funny story with that, Robert Archibald tells about how, I think it was Robert Archibald or Lucas Johnson, they're in the locker room, I guess, at halftime, and Frank Williams had a terrible first half. And I guess Bill Self got everybody together, and then he told Frank, this doesn't concern you. Well, I'm going to talk to the rest of the team right now. And so he just basically ignored Frank, excluded him from the rest of the team, according to Lucas. And, of course, Frank came out in the second half just mad as a hornet. Mm-hmm. So he knew how to push Frank's buttons to get him motivated to come out with a lot more fire in the second half and help lead the comeback. But that's a great story because he's like, Frank, you're not a part of this discussion. So Self got him away from the rest of the team.
Do you think that Kansas can win another Big 12 championship under Self this year?
Yeah, they're pretty close, right? I mean, they're still in the hunt.
Oh, but, yeah, they're on top.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing what he's doing.
A lot of good teams in the Big
12. I mean, West Virginia had them beat. Didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They had them beat, and Kansas just potted it to the end.
356-9397 is how you can join us. Illini women lost yesterday. Too bad, too, because they had a really good crowd, 3,200.
Yeah, good first half.
Yep, good first half. Led at halftime.
Yeah.
Dave Lone, talking with him, you know, one of the difficulties they've had talking about shooting is just scoring on a consistent basis. They just, you know, they a lot of times it's running late into the shot clock and they're just having trouble getting it to go in the basket on a consistent basis.
I thought their guard play would be better when I saw them earlier this season, and it just hasn't been consistent. They're getting good play out of Weddinger.
Oh, yeah. Well, she just went over 1,000 points and had a triple-double in a recent game as well. Got the news headlines coming up here at the bottom of the hour, our final half hour here today on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday morning quarterback. We were hoping to get a hold of possibly Darren Williams today because he's at the Jock Jams tonight. As a celebrity judge, but I don't know if he's sleeping or just haven't been able to get him. So hopefully maybe somebody will get a chance to talk to him along the way tonight over at Jock Jams at 7:30. That's always a fun event, raises some money for charity. You can show up at the door at night tonight and get a ticket if you'd like to get in to see that. We had someone on, Casey Dodge from the baseball team, with us last week on that. Open line tomorrow at 9. Dan Holder and Associates. Dan Holder will be here at 10 a.m. tomorrow to talk the new tax law changes. You can start filing your taxes now. Oh, boy. And then, get those in. But Dan will answer all of your questions in regards to that with the new tax law. And then 9 a.m. Wednesday, an open line. Tom Kasich will pop his head in real quick just to say hello as he heads to the State of State address over in Springfield. And then Jim Dye in the second hour on Wednesday. And that's kind of what's ahead early in the week. Michael Kaiser has news headlines here at DWS. More Monday morning quarterbacking straight ahead.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Welcome back. Penny for Your Thoughts continuing here as we move along on a Monday morning quarterbacking. We do this during the course of the football and basketball seasons. And we're talking a potpourri, a variety of topics today. We talked about the sub-4-minute mile of John Davis from Oakwood at the University of Illinois at the Armory on Saturday. Ran through all of the Olympic sports events for the University of Illinois. Big weekend for gymnastics and tennis, wrestling, so forth. The Illini men play tomorrow night at 6, 4:30 Illini game day with Scott Beatty. Got Catherine Reuter with the News Gazette sports page at the Esquire tonight at 5. Brad Underwood 7-8. We touched on Roger Federer, first men's tennis player, by the way, to win 20 major singles championships after capturing the Australia Open at the age of 36 years, 173 days. That sounds old, doesn't it? 36 years. Federer also becomes the second oldest man to win a Grand Slam title in the Open era. Ken Rosewall won the 1972 Australian Open at age 37. So that's a little interesting tidbit. Back to the phones here, Monday morning quarterbacks with Richard. How are you, Richard?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you, Brian, and good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Well, since it's open line Monday morning quarterbacking, I think the most remarkable situation ever to occur in sports is still slightly active, and I'll get to that. But first, you know the public interest we'll call them commercials, talking about autism, and they would say, what are the chances, what are the odds, and they cite a particular picture in Alaska. And I always thought, you know, one of these days they're going to have to bring this point up. What are the odds that an NFL quarterback would have two sons, and those two sons would grow up and become NFL quarterbacks and win Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds? I think they are absolutely
astronomical.
Almost incalculable.
Oh, sure.
They are, Brian.
You're talking about the Mannings, right?
Manning.
Yeah.
Archie was a pretty good quarterback, although the New Orleans Saints, you know, didn't do much. I don't think he ever took his team to the playoff, but still, he produced two remarkable quarterbacks who had long careers and both got Super Bowl rings, and that, you just go, what are the chances? And I never hear anybody talk about that. So that's all I have for Monday morning open line.
One of the great debates is his younger son, how good is he right now?
Eli.
You bet.
Yeah, because he lost his starting job, right?
Well, yeah, but he's been, you know, he's had two extraordinary Super Bowl triumphs. I mean, that just were, and he has never put up the statistics. I shouldn't say never, but in recent years, he's statistically fallen off, and the Giants have fallen. And I think one of the great debates right now is where does he fit among the great quarterbacks? I saw a listing the other day somebody made, and he was 38th. Mm-hmm. 38th.
Yeah. Well.
Well, that's way down the line.
Yes,
and they're
it
not
is.
Giving him much credit. I mean, his, you know, I don't know. I don't follow them close enough to really be able to make any judgment on it. But I think there it is a great debate, and it is also a debate right in New York right now. Do they go forward with him? I guess they do, but is that the right thing?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I like the way you think.
I can't
think.
Answer it.
Yes, I know. Here's a question maybe you can answer. I don't know. Good morning, Brian. He says, I have a question. This is from Chuck. I have a question for Lauren. Has the women's basketball team ever had a season with no conference wins? We can certainly look that up. But somewhere
I'll look
along
it
the
up.
Way.
I don't think that's ever happened, has it?
I don't know.
I don't think so, but I'll look it up.
All right, and let's see here. Let's go back to the phones. Tim is in Urbana at 10:39. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hi, guys. Go back to the NHL, the 50-goal mark in a season. Bobby Hall,
right.
You go with the Blackhawks. But then you can go, of course, Wayne Gretzky, Mike Bossy from the Islanders, Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby for the Penguins. And you go to the Canadiens, the Maple Leafs. It's just a very hard goal to make. And I'd like to know, on go to football, how many times has a quarterback thrown over 200 passes in a year without not one interception? I think didn't JT Barrett have that record at Ohio State for, I think they talked about that this year, but it's just phenomenal. You know, even the tip ball, block, you know, just anything
absolutely.
That could happen. Where the ball would just bounce the wrong way, but And then if Eric's listening, and Eric, I don't know if that's a possibility, but if Peter Fox wants that new arena, one of those ice sheets has to be an Olympic size oval, because you know, we have a very good representation here with the skating program at the, you know, with the local people, but I'd really like to see that happen. And
so the Olympic size plate would be bigger than what you would use for hockey?
Yes.
Okay.
It'd be a larger oval.
Okay.
An oval.
Okay.
And Eric could actually give us the dimensions of that because, of course, that was a special.
I'm sure they'll consider that.
I think it because it would be a natural draw here because there's fans here that skate, and I'm for you. I'd like to see it over there by south of the hall, and it's just something that's needed because the rink can't last forever over there. I don't know, is that a historical building and would they have to tear it down, or the U of I does what they want, but I'd hate to see that building torn down.
Well, they could use it for something else, maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for being with us. Couple more texts coming in here. We'll get to those. But first, back to the phones here at 1041. Just kind of reading them as we go along. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing very well. This is an appeal to the NCAA for common sense, which, of course, may be utterly ridiculous. I deal with a lot of bureaucracies every day, and none of them seem to have any. But I was watching, I can't remember if it was the Purdue versus Wisconsin game or the Michigan State versus Wisconsin game, but total blowout, roughly 4 minutes left to go. There was more, I think the point spread was more than 20 minutes or 20 points, and there was a review. They went to the monitors, and they reviewed, and they reviewed, and they reviewed. I keep thinking that shouldn't there be some kind of a common sense mercy rule or something that if the point spread is more than 20 points and there's less than 4 minutes to go or some standard that, you know, you go with the original call that the refs made and you move on. If there's nothing that you can tell by that time, it's just time to move on and not lose the audience and the crowds and everything else. So, anyway, I would like to suggest that for them to be thinking about. And you guys
I'd like to see it in baseball, too.
Well, what I'd like to see is if the game is obviously decided, you know, 20 or whatever the minimum standard would be, and they go back and review and put a second back on the clock. You know, it's
or
like
a tenth of a second.
Or a tenth of a second. I'm like, please. You know, we don't need that. But
yeah, it's just, but yeah, there's so much of that that goes on. The other thing, as far as records that go, and I know it was, I think it was last year, a match by Westbrook, but Oscar Robertson's career averaging almost a triple-double is still one of the most impressive things I can ever remember. And he doesn't, almost never gets brought up when you're discussing, you know, the best 5 or 10 players in the history of the game. And people are too young these days. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
That's right. People are definitely too young.
All these darn young people, you know.
My first year covering sports was Oscar's senior year in high school at Attucks.
Is that right?
I saw him play in the state tournament, and he was really good. I think, you know, this is memory and you know how bad I can be, but I think he scored 36 points. I think it was in the championship game, and I think it was against Gary Roosevelt. It was the first all black championship game between in Indiana between Gary Roosevelt and Indianapolis Attucks.
I didn't realize he was from Indiana.
Well, Lauren struck out Lou Brock too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't strike him out. He hit a double off of me. I faced him,
okay,
but the ball came back harder than I threw it. Let's put it that way.
Thank you, Scott. All right, we appreciate it. All right, got a text here. It said, I've always said if I won the lottery, my first thing would be buy 2 hours of your show with no commercials, no News Gazette personalities, no financial advice, no Judge Wapner. Just 2 hours of actual talk. Also, a text from Jane says, would you please explain the difference between a team foul and a player foul? That's from Jane.
A team foul?
Yeah,
I know.
And a player individual foul. I mean, I don't know if they ever call really a...
Could be a technical of some kind, but
team technical foul.
There's no such thing as a team foul that I know of. But there's a team rebound.
Yes,
you know, if it deflects off somebody, you get out of bounds and you get a team rebound.
And the totals you see, people know this, I think, for the most part. But the totals you see, you know, Finke will get a foul. That's the first team foul in Illinois. You know, they'll put the number up on the board.
Well,
team fouls.
Right,
that's just the total fouls.
Sure.
Individually that add.
Maybe that's what she's talking
maybe
about.
Maybe she's, I don't know. But that's the text we got in. All right, we're at 1045, and we'll take a break. Back with more after this on Penny.
What if buying groceries for your family helped someone else feed theirs? By shopping at Salt and Light's Grocery and Thrift Store, you change lives and transform your community. 100% of the money you spend is reinvested locally, creating jobs and sustaining Salt and Light's programs that help those in need. Located at 1819 South Philo Road in Urbana, Salt and Light's Grocery and Thrift Store is open to the whole community, a place where you can truly shop, donate, and change lives. For more information, visit saltandlightministry.org.
This is a taxpayer alert. Illinois' pension crisis is crushing the state, but a solution is right under state lawmakers' noses. For years, thousands of state university employees in Illinois have chosen to enroll in a 401k-style retirement plan that take politicians out of the retirement business, protect taxpayers, and give government workers a retirement they can control. To learn more, go to IllinoisPolicy.org. Brought to you by the Illinois Policy Institute.
Hello, I'm Dan Holder from Holder Wealth Management. I'm sure many of you have seen or heard advertisements of individuals claiming to be financial planners. If you do your due diligence and check their credentials, you'll discover that most of these individuals likely do little more than manage investment accounts and or sell insurance products, lacking expertise in many of the important areas of the financial planning process. We at Holder Wealth Management are not only investment advisors, we are also licensed attorneys and CPAs with over 42 years of combined experience in structuring investment portfolios, retirement planning, business succession planning, estate and gift planning, income tax planning, and trust and estate law. If you're only looking for someone to manage your stock portfolio, there are many firms out there that will do this. But if you're looking for a financial planner who can offer you advice in all of the important financial plan areas, then call us at Holder Wealth Management, 217-398-4015. We'd be happy to meet with you at no cost.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join us for the next Bohannon Show with the top stories of the day, some fun stuff from sports or entertainment, you name it, right here, tonight at 9 on DWS.
Penny, for your thoughts, Monday morning quarterbacking here on DWS. I'm Brian Barnhart with you throughout the week on Penny for Your Thoughts, 9 to 11. So glad you're with us here today, 356-9397. Texas, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 3515-357. Email us talk at WDWS.com. Back to the phones, and Mike is up next. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian and Lauren. The previous caller was just talking about Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably something not many people know, but Oscar Robertson used to visit Champaign-Urbana. And for a company I used to work for, his company that he started when he left his NBA career was a chemical processing company that my employer purchased many chemicals from him, and he would visit our facility. And I've got a photograph of him chatting with me and signing the back of a T-shirt for me.
Okay. You know, when Tony Yates was named head basketball coach of Cincinnati, the evening was spent in Oscar's home. I was with him. And I met Oscar again. Mm. I had met him before, but that was the first time I was ever in his home, and the only time I was ever in his home.
I was quite an impressive gentleman to visit with.
Yep.
Super nice, and just a real class act on the basketball court, as we all know that.
Oh, boy, that's for sure. Yep,
he really was.
Yeah, it's those are memories that you'll never forget. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you.
All right, hey, thank you, Mike. Good to hear from you. Next up is Orville. Orville, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, you said something about Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points to never be broken.
Yeah.
Kobe almost done it. He said,
"You think 82 almost breaks 100?"
No. He had 88, and he said, "Okay, part of the quarter." He didn't even play the fourth quarter.
No kidding.
So he could have, maybe.
Yeah.
And here's another question. I've been on this fouling with towards the end of the game if you're ahead by three.
Mm-hmm.
Foul the guy, so send him to the line.
Nope. Coaches don't do that very often, do they?
Well, I'd mentioned this a week or two earlier, and somebody told me, no, they don't do that, but in the next week, he was calling for a foul that had by two. He said, "Foul him. You can tie the game up. You got the ball to, you know, take the last shot." Well, of course, they turned the ball over and they come down, and then ended up being up by three. And it came down to court, and they said, "Now foul him." And you know, I don't know what a discrepancy. Do you get caught up in the heat of the moment when a game's that close? And your mind goes to something else instead of what you told them before?
Well, I guess it can happen.
I guess that happens, yeah. I mean, that's the only explanation sometimes is because I've had coaches over the years, I know Lauren has too, I told them going out of the timeout, I told them three times, don't throw it over there. And then sure enough, the ball goes over there. And it's like, I told them not to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I just,
the coach gets blamed for the loss. So.
Oh, listen, basketball is an instinctive game. once that player comes down over half court with the ball, he's liable to do anything.
You guys have a good day.
Thanks, Orville. Yeah. Good to hear from you. Text from Bill says, just tuned in. Has anyone else complained about Big Ten scheduling? I'm okay with Tuesday/Wednesday and Saturday/Sunday. This Monday, Thursday, Friday schedule is awful. I want a weekend game especially. That's Bill.
We sure would like to have
him. We've heard that a lot.
Makes a lot of difference in attendance.
But I think Grand Canyon was the last home Saturday afternoon game or Saturday game.
And look how many people turned out for that. Mm-hmm. That's when people want to go to games.
Sure. Sure they do.
Really terrible. I got the answer on the women. The women have never gone undefeated in the winless in the conference. They've never gone undefeated either. The best record with the 2-12-4 records with Teresa Grintz back in 97 and 98, 10-6 the next year, and 11-5 in 2000. And since 2000, they've never had double-figure wins. The last 5 years have been 2-14, 6-12, 2-15, 3-13 last year, and this year they haven't won a game yet. Hmm. The worst they've ever done is 2-15.
So never a winless Big Ten season.
Never a winless, but the worst season they ever had was just 2 years ago at 2-15.
By the way, speaking of records not broken, that haven't been approached, Dave Downey, of course, with his record that we know. By the way, you know who holds the record for rebounds in a single season at Illinois?
I'm going to guess Thoreen.
Yep, that's right. The number is 349.
I don't think he was the best rebounder, but there were so many shots. He played 4 years. He only played 3 years. But there were so many shots in that time, and there was a lot more rebounds to get.
Skip Thoreen also had 331 in 64. So
that's
65.
Back when we were scoring 100 points a game.
That's
Brian.
Right. And the only one who's come close in recent, very recent time was Mike Davis. He had 330.
That's amazing.
In a year. In 2010, Eddie Johnson in 1980 had 310. And, of course, James Augustine, the only Illini with over 1,000 rebounds in his career, 1,023. Mike Davis had over 909. And the career assist leader at Illinois, 765 by, we all knew that, right?
Career. Douglas.
Bruce Douglas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number two, though, may surprise you, Dimitri McCamey.
That does
733.
Yeah, I would have guessed D. Brown.
Yeah, D. Brown was third, 674. So those are just some interesting numbers.
McCamey's a kind of an overlooked player. Augustine's kind of an overlooked player, really. And I don't think Frank Williams gets all the credit he deserves. He was a Big Ten player of the year.
I heard one name more than any other the years Dimitri McCamey was here from Bruce Weber during the course of a game sitting next to the bench.
Well, he yelled at him all the time, didn't he?
Dimitri. I heard it 15 times in the game. But he had a really good career, as it turned out. We're at 10:54. We'll take a break here, a quick short break, and come back. We've got a few minutes left if you'd like to jump in here. We're talking a variety of subjects today, and we'll get into that with some more after this. Woods Basement Systems, a sponsor on our show. We appreciate them. Since 1986, the Woods family has helped over 55,000 homeowners. If you have basement issues, crawl space, wall cracks, foundation cracks, you can get a free estimate as to what it might cost to protect yourself from the expensiveness of trying to fix that. Get a free estimate from Woods and fix those basement and crawl space cracks once and for all. And over the years, Woods Basement has acquired several awards. We talked earlier, of course, with Dave Thompson, January's Radon Action Month. Give them a call if you have any questions, 888-935-4333. Or you can visit woodsbasementsystems.com. Bill, a couple of times here, texts in. It says Kobe never had 88. He had 81. Chamberlain had 55 rebounds in one game in 1960. You mentioned that earlier. Those are some of the unbreakable or sometimes unapproachable
numbers.
Just
think about this. You can have a bad night. You can have several bad. He averaged 50 points a game entire season.
Oh, it's ridiculous, the numbers he put up. By the way, just looking at some Illinois records, most points in a single game for the University of Illinois. Do you remember the game?
Yeah, I do. I remember we were in LSU, and I think it was around 124.
127.
127, okay.
127 to 100. Wasn't Lou Henson upset that we'd give up 100 points?
Well, Lou, Lou put in the reserves late in that game, and they got hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
That's the Rennie Clemens game, isn't it? The one everybody talks about? Or was that a different
game?
No,
that game was at the Assembly Hall, State Farm Center. It was
he dunked on Shaq.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which wasn't a dunk, really.
And the
he laid it in on him.
State Farm Center record, I believe, is 126, or Assembly Hall record. Illinois in a game, I think it was against Long Island, here at the State Farm Center Assembly Hall. Okay, we're at 10:59. Well, that was a lot of fun here. We covered the waterfront.
Oh, boy.
So, did everything. So, you ready for Illinois?
Every day I'm on this show. If I did this 7 times a week, I might know something.
Illinois men's basketball tomorrow night. Rutgers, certainly beatable. We have less than a minute here, but, you know, beatable team. They are very good defensively. They're getting improved, but they do struggle to score. So, be a good matchup tomorrow night.
Got to stop Sanders.
Yeah.
He's hurt us
before. He has.
Twice.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Tomorrow, of course, on Penny for Your Thoughts, an open line in the first hour. Dan Holder will join us in the hour. If you have some tax questions, with the income tax filing now starting, getting ready for April, of course, a lot of new laws, new things that are in place with the new tax law. So Dan will help us on that. He's excellent at covering that material. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for all the calls, emails, and texts. Thanks to Lauren Tate and Ed Bond. This is WDWS Champaign-Urbana.